Hey, listeners, before we begin, just quickly, I'd love to tell you about three ways you can support the Pop Culture Preservation Society. As you know, we are an independent podcast. We're not owned or paid by anybody. We do everything by ourselves. And all of our financial support comes from you, the listeners. So if you'd like to help us pay our bills so we can keep on trucking, here's what you can do. One, pledge your support with a recurring monthly donation on Patreon. There are three levels of support, and each one comes with exclusive bonus content. Just go to patreon.com or look for the link in our show notes. Two, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you know we had one? Even if you don't have any intention of watching anything on YouTube, do it anyway. Because when we get to a certain level of subscribers, we have a shot at getting a little compensation, and every little bit counts. Three, this one is new. Buy your books using our bookshop.org link. Bookshop.org is an online bookseller that benefits small independent bookstores. And when you use our link, we get a little bit of that love. All of these links will be in our show notes and in our email newsletter and in our link tree. But most importantly, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening and thank you for sharing with your Gen X friends. You are the reason we do this and we couldn't be more grateful to you. Nanu Nanu, keep on trucking and may the force be with you. Because I thought maybe I wasn't who I thought I was. Like, maybe, have I been living a lie? Am I really a jock?
I should, and now you're like, I'm going to be a track and field star Olympian.
Yes!
Hello world, it's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the Big Wheel generation who still have a blister between their toes from their rubber flip-flops. I mean, thongs.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear, like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we'll be saving those tried and true traditions that signal the end of the school year and the start of summer vacation. I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists.
School's out for summer. School's out for summer.
Welcome, everyone, to season 16. Woo! Woo! Insert confetti cannon and applause here. You guys, the PCPS can drive. We can drive. Oh,
okay. I got my permit.
I know. No, we're fully licensed drivers now.
Yes.
I know. I'm honestly frightened by how fast these seasons fly by. I don't know about you guys, but fly by. I don't like I love it, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. I know. Anyway. It's time, just in general, it flies by these days, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I know. Everything goes faster now.
Hey, DM. Mm-hmm. Well, besides all the great episodes coming your way, and listeners, if you missed last week's episode, we gave you the rundown of this upcoming season, as well as exciting stuff we're in the process of planning for the podcast. Stay tuned. There's some other fun things that are going on for us individually. Right, Carolyn?
Yes. Speaking of planning, you guys, I'm going to be a mother of the bride.
that gives me goosebumps just, right now on my kneecaps.
Gosh, you guys, I was just a bride yesterday, so this is really hard for me, but fun. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. So yes, so Maggie is engaged and we're just starting those plans and not sure of what is going to unfold. But I know it's going to be glorious and fun, and I'm looking forward to it. And so any of our listeners who have gone down this road already, any helpful hints are much appreciated. You can reach out and let me know the do's and don'ts, especially the don'ts, because I don't want to do any of the don'ts.
Right. You know what? Maggie should feel good about the music, because I messaged her a couple days after she got engaged and said, hey, no worries. The PCPS we are on the playlist for the reception. So just don't even worry about that. Yes. I'm sure she was so appreciative. I'm sure she was like, oh, right.
I know she was. Well, you guys, you know, haven't you seen probably on TikTok or something, those viral videos of dances at wedding receptions, like the mother and the son, but they're also sometimes where the mom and maybe some of her friends come out and do a little.
Oh, I'll do it. Okay, well, Abba. So, okay, I will.
All right.
Let's do Abba. And we're going to dress. We'll go back real quick and we'll change into like polyester pantsuits.
Yeah.
And we'll come out and we'll do a whole Abba thing.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Notice she didn't really actually ask. And we're like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. She just right. said friends. She's just like,
that's right.
Friends. And you and I are.
You know what?
I already was thinking of like this great thrift store a couple miles from my house. Like, oh, I can totally find my outfit there.
Well, I'm going to have auditions. I think I'm going to have auditions.
Oh, it's okay. Oh, I can do that. I'm fine. I'm fine with that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have already won the audition if you're having auditions.
I'm not worried about that. Does not scare me at all.
Not at all.
Alrighty.
Also, Kristen, I'm going to, we just need to organize a time to get together and
do a choreo.
Yeah, our choreo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's there you go. So
I am just, I know this is a joke, but I'm like very excited. Like, oh my God, what if this actually happened? Oh, okay.
You never know. Mm-hmm. It just
right now, Maggie's listening and Maggie just has decided to elope.
The phone rings. Suddenly, Carolyn's phone rings.
Yeah. Remember, Mom, when you said you'd just write me a check and I could go elope? I think I'm going
to go
do
back
that.
To that. Why don't, Mom, you just have a party with your friends? Why do you have to involve me?
Yeah,
really. I remind her of that too. I'm like, yeah, it is about you, but it's kind of also about me. It is a time for me to get to invite my
well,
friends.
Let's be honest. Okay, and I do get down on parents sometimes when they make it about them because it is about their kids. However, this is a huge milestone.
Yes.
This is a rite of passage for a parent. You, mm-hmm. I realize that you're not like shuttling Maggie out of your house and into somebody else's house. Maggie's been on her own for a long time. She's a big girl. However, it is your family is growing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. But Kristen, you do have some planning of your own that is going to be going on too. What's that all about?
Oh, it's big. So the countdown has begun for the release of the sequel to Worldwide Crush called The Scott Fenwick Diaries. It's coming out on July 22nd. And just like Worldwide Crush was inspired by my crush on Sean Cassidy, The Scott Fenwick Diaries is inspired by my crush on Scott Fenwick. In fifth
A real
grade.
Live
in fifth
person.
Grade.
Yes.
And inspired by, I just have to make sure that I say that, inspired by, that's important, because there are no real events that actually happened to me and Scott Fenwick, because what happened between me and Scott Fenwick in real life was nothing. It was zero. Nothing happened. All of these relationships took place solely in my imagination, which is why they become books. However, there is one scene in the book that inadvertently came from my diary in fifth grade. I wrote it, and then I read my diary, I swear to God. And so I'll be filling you in on that later. So I have to tell you, I've been attempting to contact Scott Fenwick and just let him know that there will be a book with his name on it when he goes into bookstores this summer. I've only looked for my Scott Fenwick. I've not looked for all the other Scott Fenwicks in the world because my Scott Fenwick might see this book and he might recognize my name and he might call the FBI. So I just want him to know that I've not been stalking him since 1979. So I was able to find him, the right Scott Fenwick, but my attempts to contact him have really been a failure thus far. Like wrong social media profile, or he can't see my messages because we're not Facebook friends. One of my very savvy friends was able to find his work email, but I got no response from that. It's possible I got caught in a firewall or something. But this week, there was a development. Months ago, I requested to connect with him on LinkedIn months ago, and this week he accepted that request.
I want to cry.
I know.
I want to cry. It's
so
glorious.
When you sent us that message, yes, it was just like, I mean, the three of us were just going back and forth. We couldn't believe it.
I loved Carolyn's response when you just sent, listeners, Kristen just sent us the screenshot of the Scott Fenwick has accepted your connect or is connected with you, whatever. And Carolyn just says, let the games begin. I have this grand plan that you're going to connect with him. He's going to be like, oh, that is the sweetest thing. Oh my gosh, I'm so flattered. And hey, you know, you're going to be like, hey, when we do this event at this bookstore, it'd be so fun if I could say, and here's the real Scott
Fenwick. The real Scott Fenwick.
I mean, that would be like probably that mortifying.
But he would be
like, oh, I'm game. That's so fun. I don't know. That's my dream.
That's the hope. I just want to make sure he knows that, like, the book is not about him. It's just inspired by his shiny hair in fifth grade. So I did, now that we're connected shiny on LinkedIn, hair. I can send him a message. So I did send him a message just saying, hey, it's me. Do you remember me from 45 years ago?
My God.
And I have not gotten anything back. But, you know, maybe he doesn't check LinkedIn. Maybe he does it like once every 6 months.
And we're all thinking, and I'm sure most of our listeners are thinking too, this is adorable. This is darling. It's precious. How can you think it's anything but? Mm-hmm. And we probably do have a handful of listeners that are like, oh, that is creepy AF if you got that message. Not that you wrote the book, because again, I'm going to emphasize this too. All the things that happen in the book with Scott Fenwick didn't actually happen.
So it's not that. Yeah.
I think it would be cute if I got the message and someone I would be
very flattered.
The Michelle Schmidt Diaries. Yes. I would be like, oh my God, you had a crush on me?
I had no idea.
And what if I had a crush on you? What if I was like, same? It's adorable.
I know.
If you need, Michelle and I would be happy to be character witnesses if you feel like you need to.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
If he needs to reach out to us first, we'll let
Sean
him know
Cassidy
you're okay.
is intact and everything's fine. So
I would just like to thank you for writing another book, because that just means that my late summer and fall just got a whole lot more fun.
Oh, so, they sure did. They yes, sure did.
No,
so in addition to, you know, the madcap caper to find my fifth grade crush and prove to him that I'm safe and there's no call for the FBI, what's leading up to the release of the Scott Fenwick Diaries is planning for both my book release party in Minneapolis, which listeners can come to. It's open to the public. You can come. And planning for a joint book tour / podcast tour for Carolyn and Michelle and me. And we had a great time in April at Anderson's Bookshop in Downers Grove, Illinois, doing our Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret book club. And we think that that will be the template for us to come visit you where you are. Mm-hmm. We had 50 people for the Margaret book club at Anderson's Bookshop, and it was so fun.
Yes, it was great. The three of us really compliment each other, and what I mean compliment, not like tell each other how cute we are all the time and funny, just how we, what we offer to the book club. We all bring our own perspectives, but it really balances. Mm-hmm. And so it was really fun to have this conversation with other people.
Yeah.
Well, and really I mean, was. Listening to everybody's Margaret moments, but also just their Judy Blume love and how much all of her books meant to them is so fulfilling. I don't know. It's it's a great way to connect with people, and it's just joyful. And it's such a good way to also be promoting Scott Fenwick. I should say the Scott Fenwick Diaries. I gotta be careful now. I don't want to restrain the order against me as well.
Yes.
We're promoting you, Scott Fenwick, promoting the Scott Fenwick Diaries and Worldwide Crush because, and I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, because they're both Kristen's writing style, and y'all who have not read these books, I don't care how old you are, read them because they're so relatable and real and funny. And she's our Judy Blume. And so it's such a great marriage of conversation and promotion at these events to be having people come to share their Margaret memories and their Judy Blume feelings at the same time talking about Worldwide Crush and the Scott Fenwick Diaries because they're the same type of book. So
it's all about seventh grade. And so here's where we could use your help, you the listeners. We're not going to go anywhere where we have no listeners. We're just not, because we want to meet you. And if you have friends who love Margaret, we'd like to meet them too, especially if they're teachers or librarians or middle schoolers or parents of middle schoolers, because those are all the kinds of people who'd like to hear about the Scott Fenwick Diaries also. So if you have a bookstore or a library or a book-friendly venue that would like to host us, and if you have a community of people you'd like to share this event with, please let us know. Consider yourself part of our team, like our ground team. You can help us spread the word. You can send us a message at hello@poppreservationists.com or send us a DM or call us on the telephone. No, you can't do that because we don't have a phone number. And if you'd like a signed copy of the book when it comes out, you can order one from the bookstore where I work, which is called Big Hill Books in Minneapolis. And that link will be in our show notes and our newsletter. And it's in my link tree on Instagram.
And all the places. Follow me.
All the places. It's like having a book drop in the summer like this is really great because this May feels like the end of school. It feels like I'm waiting for something really big and fun to begin. Like summer is coming. Summer is coming.
Yes. And what a great feeling that is, right? Mm-hmm. Don't you remember at the end of the school year, there was just a different feeling in the air, in our bones, in the carpet, in the school. It was just kind of everywhere, this excited anticipation. But yet, I think, too, there was a tinge, at least for me, I don't know if I'm speaking for myself, just of being a little bittersweet, like, you know, saying goodbye.
Yes.
I think more so when I was a teacher, probably, but it was a mix of all of those emotions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, leaving your teacher was a big deal. You didn't start disliking your teachers until much later. In the beginning, your teacher was always kind of your idol. And you were saying goodbye to her / him.
Well, in your classroom, the kids in your classroom, for better or for worse, that's a family. And I agree with you, Carolyn, as a teacher, when we would be getting a couple of weeks before the end of the school year, regardless of if I had a class that year where 10 of them, you know, drove me to an early grave every day or I had to send to the office 3 times a week or whatever, it didn't matter. You created a family. You spent more time with these kids during the weekdays than they did with their own parents or their own siblings. And so, or that I spent with my own husband. And so there was I had a huge melancholy feeling. And I think I'm sure I even had that as a student. The only thing is I moved around so much that I probably never knew, like, well, I don't know where I'll be next year.
Remember how you had to return all your library books? That was like a big deal.
What if you couldn't find one of them?
Were they not going to let you leave?
Have Beverly Cleary, Ramona, you know, you have Ramona and Beezus out or whatever. Yeah. And I'd be like, I don't know where it is.
And your teacher would make you sweep your desks. Like, everybody, open your desks. We're looking for library books.
I moved so much that I still probably have several library books from various libraries that, you know, they'll be like, oh, just bring it back next fall. And I'm like, okay, it's mine now, sucker.
See ya.
I bet I'm moving again this summer.
You know what else always happened at the end of the school year, which I want to do this as a whole episode sometime. But at the end of the year, that was oftentimes when the whole school would gather in the gym and like all 500 kids would be sitting crisscross applesauce on the floor to watch a movie.
Yes.
Oh, right? That's right. So the teachers could like be taking their bulletin boards down.
Yeah. We didn't know that this was on purpose. We thought it was like, oh, you've done such a good job throughout the year. And now we're going to give you this gift of watching a movie. But no, the teachers were, like you said, taking down their bulletin boards, doing their grade books.
And smoking it was a small number. Smoking in the teacher's lounge in 1976, you know.
Totally.
Yeah, for sure.
And there was just a handful of movies that all of us watched universally across the nation. And so I want to gather all of those movies that everybody watched in the gym. And there's one in particular. This is just a little teaser. So when we were at our Free to Be You and Me event, one of our listeners came up to me and she showed me her phone. She said, did you watch this in the gym in school when you were a kid? And I freaked out because not only did I watch that movie, but I brought this movie up to Carolyn and Michelle, and both of them were like, never heard of it. So those of you listening, please raise your hands if you watch the movie Paddle to the Sea. And just know, okay, I'm counting all your hands right now. I'm counting. It's a lot. It's a lot of hands. Okay, so we're going to do an episode on this soon, someday, and we'll feature Paddle to the Sea.
We always had Heidi. So, like you just said, Kristen, when we were plopped in the gymnasium to watch an all-school movie, there were other things that signaled the end of the school year, and none as time-honored as that wonderful end-of-year tradition of field day. Tell me about your feelings about a field day.
I loved field day. I loved field day. And you guys know I was not athletic at all, but that was the beauty of field day. I didn't have to be. And I'm not sure you guys know this, but you're currently talking to the 1977 Blue Ribbon winner of Swift Elementary's second grade jump rope event.
Oh,
oh, wow.
Nicely done.
Just round of applause.
Nicely done.
Yep. I was going to pause nice and I didn't even have to. I can count on you guys for that. I might have also snagged a blue for hula hooping that year or the next. I don't remember. Because unlike PE, I got to choose. And that was everything to me. No one was making me do the 50-yard dash or the long jump in field day because I thought they were fun if nobody was forcing me or timing me, really. I mean, you know, they were, but at the same time, it was just a fun day.
Right.
Yeah. And that just made all the difference because I could participate in things I felt that I could actually do and I felt confident in. That's why I loved field day. And there's a lot of other reasons, but we're going to get to those later in our conversation. A lot of other aspects of field day that I remember vividly that I loved that make this such a positive memory and just a spark of joy in my childhood.
Yeah, I remember that agency of getting to pick what events you wanted to be in. Like our teacher would tape down these sheets on desks and you just went around and you got to sign up. There was maybe a limit or something. And I remember when my best friend, Cheryl Siebold, if you're out there, Cheryl, howdy, she and I signed up for the three-legged race. And we were so excited because I was tall and we were going to have this whole, like, you know, kind of strategy of how my legs could kind of propel us to the, you know, to the finish line.
I'm imagining you were just going to tie Cheryl's leg up higher. So her foot didn't even hit the ground.
Carry her on her hip. Just like, like a baby. Like you just carry her like a baby.
Carolyn's like, I got you, Cheryl. And so it's probably very pointed. Carolyn's looking around like, who's the short? Shortest one in the class. Sure. She is my friend.
And I goddamn it, wanted a blue ribbon.
Did you get it?
I don't remember. I just remember how fun it was. You know what? And that's the other thing. At the end of the day, does it really matter? Maybe.
I remember. It depends on who you ask.
Yeah, I guess so.
But that's the goal. The goal is that what you're saying is, does it really matter? Because that's not why I was doing it.
Yeah.
As we'll see coming up, field day is a mixed bag for a lot of people. It's a mixed bag of memories. And that's how it is for me, too. I have very mixed emotions about field day. I had one school that was all fun and silliness, like the hula hoop and the jump rope and no competition. And then I had another school that was, it was just gym. It was just more gym.
It was outside.
It was all day. It was like all day gym. So that's a nightmare. But I will say that I looked forward to the disruption. I looked forward to something different. It was outside. Maybe there were hot dogs. My only very specific memory of field day is when I won. I won one of the dashes. I don't know which one it was. But I won it.
There's so many dashes.
But you have to understand, this was a fluke. There was no logical reason for this to have happened. And it messed with my head. Because I thought maybe I wasn't who I thought I was. Like, maybe, have I been living a lie? Am I really a jock?
And now you're like, I'm going to be a track and field star Olympian.
Yes, the cognitive dissonance was real. It was very real. And even when I crossed the finish line and they said my name, it wasn't joy that I felt. It was like what?
There's another Christian Nielsen.
And for a moment, I did consider like changing my whole persona. Like, is there a team where you run?
Starts wearing like a red, white, and blue terry cloth.
Like Bjorn Borg.
That's right.
Yeah. I got my Bjorn Borg like terry cloth thing. But truthfully, the only reason that I did the whatever it is dash is because it was the one skill that every kid does just by virtue of being alive, right? When you're a kid, you run to get from point A to point B. I didn't need a special skill. I like throwing. Yeah. Or whatever. But then, you know, by the end of the day, I was like, no, I'm a book nerd. It was over.
I do have another specific memory. Our field days were all day. And I have a very specific memory of falling. I was running somewhere and it wasn't in a dash. I don't think I would have ever signed up for a dash, but I was running and I fell and I tore open, you guys, like a 3-inch rectangle on my kneecap. And I mean, it was, and there was, I can still remember all the gravel in it and it was all, which got me sent to the nurse's office for probably, you know, an hour. And I was so, I remember crying and being so upset. And I'm quite certain it was because I was missing field day.
Yes.
But, and then I remember thinking it was, I felt kind of cool when I went back because instead of a Band-Aid, the nurse had put one of those big square gauzy bandages on it.
Oh, that's real. That's like you broke your leg.
It was almost like better than a ribbon because when I went back, I had like this badge of honor. And in hindsight, I'm really hoping that little Michelle was telling people, yeah, I was out, I was doing the 100-yard dash.
The 100-yard dash.
And I was crossing the finish line.
That's right.
And it was a photo finish.
Yes,
and I arched forward to break the ribbon. You know, I was probably 7.
I was sliding into third.
I was sliding so far. Anyway, but I do have a memory of that on my knee. And it was, and the subsequent scab that came about, you know, a week later was just a nightmare because as you are when you're
scabs.
A child and you like to pick
Could
at things.
Just have a moment
for
scabs.
I'm sorry, that's gross, but scabs.
No.
And when you're like 7 and you have a scab that's like a 3-inch by, you know, 2-inch rectangle.
That's like a jigsaw puzzle. Yes, that's a game.
One of those.
That's an activity.
My mom would get so mad at me because I would constantly pick at that scab. And for a long time, I had a big old scar on my knee because I never let the scab heal.
Yeah. Okay, just think about this. As an adult, when was the last time you had a scab?
I agree. I had a little one on my pinky last week.
Michelle, from when she fell when her dog.
Oh, yeah, you fell down, went boom.
Yeah, my dog Frankie pulled me down a few weeks ago, guys, and I just went like in slow motion. In fact, Carolyn would have laughed so hard if she could have seen video of it. But I mean, I went down and I thought I caught myself, but then my toe caught the concrete and I didn't. And you see the concrete coming up and you're like, this isn't happening. And it happened. Yeah.
You guys, it's maybe one of those other things too, like those full circle moments of aging. Like we got a lot of scabs when we were young and just carefree and flinging ourselves here and there. And then we're going to get to an age where we're kind of tripping or walking into things. And now we're going to have scabs on the other
Again?
End of. Of our lives.
So we're going to get, it's all going to come full circle. We're going to get scabs again.
It is. Let's just hope we can remember the good old days when we earned our scabs.
I'm doing a 100-yard dash.
That's right. Well, just like us, our listeners also had some very specific field day memories. Some were funny. And you guys, some were actually kind of tragic. But one thing was clear. Field day left its mark on you. That sounds so funny.
So good.
Oh, wasn't that good? And so really, you know, we were kind of split on whether it was something we dreaded or we eagerly anticipated, but we can all agree that this was kind of like an elementary version of Battle of the Network Stars. Don't you think?
Yes.
Such a fun day.
Totally. It is. It was our own Battle of the Network Stars. For sure. Ed Asner was there during the tug of war.
And Robert Conrad.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Kaplan
always, what do they call the tug of war guy at the end? There's like
the
a name
anchor.
For that.
Well, I
the
call
anchor.
Him anchor.
Lou Grant was the anchor.
Yeah. And Howard Cosell was announcing all the events, right?
Craig Harrison looks at those teeth clenched together. Valerie Bertinelli. Look at Ed Asner, the body prostrate.
Who was the Incredible Hulk?
Oh, Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno. He was the anchor a lot, too.
Oh, that's a score. Who was on that network? They're like, we got the Hulk.
Those people probably were able to do the tug of war like I'm going to tell you guys I used to do it coming up soon. Anyway, but yeah, so for many of us, like me and Carolyn and sometimes Kristen, there was a palpable excitement and buzzing in the air that whole week, I think, leading up to field day. And I can honestly still pull up that feeling talking about it now, because even when I was prepping for this episode, I was getting like feelings inside me, like, or like smells were coming back, or like a feeling of the hot sun on me. Cause a lot of the times I lived in either Arizona or Texas. Because, don't forget guys, I went not to about, I went to six different schools in my elementary school years alone. So I'm basically a field day connoisseur because I experienced them at lots of different schools. However, almost all of these schools were in either Arizona or Texas. So it was very hot. So I have this, feeling of sun and sweat and hot. And also we could bring like a dollar and we could buy ice cream or candy or snacks. And I'm remembering that part that was an enormous thrill, but I just have a I have a definite memory of the thrill. It was that whole free, I'm not in any kind of class, walking around outside with my friends, that end of the year feeling. Anyway, I dug it hard. I'm not the only one because some of our followers on social media shared their exciting memories. MP123 says that she loved field day, getting to miss classes, go outside, play in the spring sunshine, tag football, four square, sack races, sack lunches. Field day also meant the end of school was near and summer was just around the corner.
I mean, that has so much to do with it, I think, right? If they had had field day in September, it would not have been the same.
No, not at all. No, yeah. Because it did have to tie into this whole freedom feel, I think. Yes. And we had a good handful of comments like the next two I'm going to read, but this is so great. So Marissa told us that she loved field day because she went to Catholic school. So this meant I got to wear regular clothes and be out of uniform for the day. That's and Marvel nice. Ann said getting to wear shorts at school. So that tied into a lot of the good memories of field day were people that went to schools where they wore uniforms, just the freedom of getting to choose your own outfit. Can you imagine the painstaking choice that went into that day? If you got to wear something like that one day in the whole year that you chose, do I wear my Mork and Mindy t-shirt? Do I wear my Happy Days t-shirt?
Well, I can speak to it from a high school perspective because we had one day a year at Bishop Eustace Prep where we could wear regular clothes, but we had to buy our opportunity and it was like a fundraiser for muscular dystrophy or something. But yeah, talk about painstaking. I think we planned the whole year what we were going to wear in this one day. It was everything. So I can totally relate, Marissa, that how fun that was. And also the shorts aspect, because even though I went to school in Texas for elementary school, we could not wear shorts to school, like during the regular school year, which does seem a little
to
odd.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it was special dispensation. Like you had to wait for the weather report to be really out of hand or for something like field day when there would be a decree. And the decree would go out that you were allowed to wear shorts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Alinka Palinka, I love your Instagram name, Alinka Palinka, says the giant earth ball. And oh my gosh.
Whatever we do. Oh, I remember that earth ball.
Yes, the giant earth ball. And then I'm assuming Alinka Palinka, you're a she, but maybe I'll just say they. Said hot dogs, chip soda in a glass bottle for lunch.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That. Yeah. And so the hot dog, did we buy the hot dog? Did the parents cook
hot dogs? I don't remember
hot
dogs, but can we just give a little nod to the sack lunch, okay?
The sack lunch.
This was a sack lunch day for me, which was, I felt so grown up because every other day I was carrying my Holly Hobby lunchbox or whatever to school. Sack lunches were for like the middle schoolers and the high schoolers or the junior high schoolers. And so that whole, just the brown paper bag with my name on it that my mom would write. And then, of course, the aluminum foiled can, sometimes soda. But Hi-C also had cans back then, so it just depended on how free my mom was feeling at the time. If she was going to go all out and let me have a Sprite. I don't think I ever had a Coke.
But,
or Mr. Pibb.
Like
I did have Mr. Pibb. You'll be glad to know, Kristen. My family loved Mr. Pibb. Oh, yeah, there was a good Shasta. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of the blue collar. No, I shouldn't say blue collar.
Yeah, it is generic. It was generic.
Although they had grape. That was really good. Mm-hmm. I think
Shasta grape was really good.
But yeah,
and you wrap it in the foil so it stays cold.
Yes,
did that work?
Yes,
is that real?
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah, but we all did it.
And
like
you had to be careful because my mom would put whatever drink, even if it was a soda, in the freezer the night before. So it was like frozen and then you wrapped it in the foil. And then you sometimes had a slushy, sometimes had this huge explosion on your hands. the Hi-C didn't really explode though. But yeah, I remember that was always in the freezer the night before. And then it kept our food cold as well because it was still, it was icy.
I love this true. Next one. The Dory's comment.
Yeah, Dory Fullis Cook gave us three memories, great memories she has of field day. And I have to just touch on this first one for a minute. She says, manning the Pepsi dispenser so I wouldn't have to run. Dory, I am with you so hard right there, but it also made me remember at one of my field days, I got to help the teacher. And I don't know if I'm sure I volunteered for this because one, I was always going to volunteer to help the teacher field day or not, but also because it probably meant I got out of
the
some
bad
of
stuff.
The activities. Yep. I still got to go jump rope or hula hoop or four square.
But you don't have to do football.
But I definitely have the memories of following my teacher around with a clipboard. So maybe I was recording times or something.
Yes.
So when I read that, so I was like, yes, I had at one of my field days at one of my schools, I got to help the teacher, which is also, my God, little Michelle.
Yeah.
She was probably over the moon being able to do that.
Gosh, think and if that was the same year that you won the hula hoop and the jump rope. You would have been on cloud nine for like months. Even.
No wonder you love field day. Yes. And you got a clipboard? Come on.
I can't even imagine. And if my mom was smart, when I got home from school, that was probably the night she had to drop the news that we were going to move for the next school year.
That hurts.
Dory also says, performing the hookalau. Is that how you would say that? The hookalau?
I'm saying hookalau. Yeah.
That's yeah, what I'm with saying. My fourth grade class, which that's so cute. So I bet that's a dance or I'm assuming.
No,
yeah,
it's a Hawaiian, fishing tradition. It's a fishing thing.
Oh,
so you go
okay.
fishing? Yeah. How do you perform it?
There must be something rhythmic about it. I didn't do a deep dive, but I did have to know what it was. And it was some sort of Hawaiian fishing, like a fishing net. And there must be something rhythmic about it.
Oh, Dory's listening right now, just going, you guys, she's screaming
she's
at
like,
her
shut
device
up,
right now,
you guys,
going, you guys,
stop
you have no
it.
Idea what you're talking about. Okay, Dory,
yeah.
DM us. And,
well, Dory,
and
yeah,
the
and maybe do a video of you doing the hookalau
yes,
and
please.
We'll put it up
yes.
so everybody, we can
better.
Educate everyone. Hey, listeners, it's Carolyn, and I wanted to share with you my latest armoire success story. Okay. Picture this, cobblestone streets, gelato in hand, and a suitcase that doesn't weigh a ton. That was actually my reality on a recent trip I took to Italy. Seriously, you guys, my trip to Italy was a style triumph. From the most comfortable jeans I have ever worn, so comfortable, you guys, that I've decided I'm going to purchase these, the perfect lightweight sweater, and then there was my absolute favorite fun checkered rain jacket that actually received compliments. Armoire is like having a dream closet at your fingertips. You tell them your style, and they send you amazing pieces that you can rent. Or you can just scroll through their amazing collection of high-quality items and choose what works for you. No more agonizing over what to pack, no more overstuffed suitcases, just effortless style delivered right to your door. Wear it, love it, send it back, and get a fresh batch. So you guys, you can ditch the packing stress and really elevate your vacation wardrobe. And right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/PCPS. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/PCPS to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right, eating healthy, working out, but your energy still crashes or those wonky mood swings hit out of nowhere?
Oh, yes. But I've got to tell you, Michelle, that has gotten so much better since I have been taking Hormone Harmony. It really does make a difference. And I recently took their free 2-minute quiz. I learned that menopause can have my hormones all out of whack. Hormone Harmony helps to fine-tune my hormonal system, and it helps maintain optimal hormone levels. It's helped with my menopause-related brain fog, my quality of sleep, and really overall well-being. I just feel better. And I also feel good knowing they only use proven science-backed ingredients in all of their herbal formulas. And what's great about the quiz is that it will recommend the best product for you based on your answers and your particular hormonal needs.
Yeah, I love that they actually have a whole line for your gut health, like Bloat Banisher. Is that TMI? I don't know. If you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with our code PCPS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PCPS for 15% off today.
But this next one is so awesome.
It's so great. The next one is just so 70s field day. Dory also remembers performing a riveting display involving a giant rainbow parachute to Dreamweaver.
I'm
visualizing it in slow-mo. Dreamweaver, and the parachute's just going up and down, and maybe there's like a sun ray that comes.
Everything's
into the
in slow mo. Mm-hmm. It's all slow mo because the parachute is, by nature of its existence, slow mo. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I love
Gary,
that parachute.
What was his name? Gary Weaver? Gary Wright? Gary Wright?
Gary Wright?
I knew
every word to Dreamweaver because. I'm sure I've shared this before, but in the Sunday magazine, or it might have been Saturday, in the newspaper, we'd have a thing called Zest. There was like Zest and Parade. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah, I remember both of these. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Zest was another one that we would have because we had two back in the day. You had two newspapers. We had the Houston Chronicle and the Houston Post. So one must have had Parade and
the
one Star must have
and
had
the Tribune. Yeah, Zest. The Star and the Tribune.
Gosh, those were the days, you guys. Morning paper, afternoon paper. Mm-hmm. Whatever, I digress. But anyway, every Saturday, they would have one song in there where they had all the words to, like the lyrics to a song. And I remember the Dreamweaver week, and I cut it out, and I put it on my bulletin board, and I knew all the words to Dreamweaver. And when it would come on the radio, because I don't even think I had the 45 or anything, but it would come on the radio, I would run, get my little lyrics out, and just belt them out.
I love that.
I believe we can make it through.
Oh my God, I love this song. I love it.
It's a good song.
It is such a good song.
And you can't, like, you're not going to go out and buy Gary Wright's album. So you did have to just sit and wait.
Yes. Wonder what happened to Gary. Was he a one-hit wonder? I don't know that I know.
Michelle's going to find out.
Dead or not dead? I can look it right up. No. Let's get back to field day.
Yes. Let's dig into these games a little bit, shall we, you guys?
Yes.
We're going to save... Tug of War till the end. That was the event. But in the meantime, we had some other fun events, some a little more serious than others. I seem to recall some of those like less serious ones. And I was always in on those because I was sure that I was going to be able to win those. Like the three-legged race I already mentioned. Do you guys remember Egg on a Spoon?
Yes.
Like the relay?
Yes. I love that one.
I was going to mention the not the running relays where you have to like run and pass the baton and keep running another 50 yards or whatever. I loved relays that were goofy, like balancing the egg on a spoon or walking backwards was one or sideways or skipping.
Or maybe the crab walk. Crab walk was another.
Oh, crab walk.
That kind of stuff. Yeah.
Gosh. Mm-hmm. And you guys, today I want you to know when I went on a run, I decided the last part when I kind of cooled down and I was walking, I was going to walk like I did when I was in the egg on a spoon race. Because, you know, you kind of waddled because you couldn't really run or the egg would fall.
You had to be stable.
So it was this kind of fast, but waddle kind of, but you're holding the thing and so that's how I waddled all the way home.
This better go on video because we're all waddling.
Yes. I would also, Carolyn, like you tomorrow on your run to have in your little running pouch an egg and a spoon so that you can actually do it after.
That egg is $3. You don't
I was
going to
say, I can't afford
that. Point. One
that.
Egg, yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. And some of our followers shared some of their moments that they loved in terms of events. 80s podcast said she loved field day so she could show off at the softball throw. Do you guys remember those?
Yeah, that was not my wheelhouse.
Well, there was so much throwing of various sized balls.
So much throwing
during field day. So many balls. So many
throws. Did we ever throw the earth ball? I almost feel like
I don't know. I think we just all tried to keep it up. We always had to all try to keep it up, you know, the giant
And that's
ball.
The one like we played crab soccer with, I think, was the earth ball.
Oh, yes.
And but I want to follow up on the softball throw. Our follower Tawanda 1965. This is the comment she left. She said, "Damn that Sue Albee. She always beat my distance throwing a baseball. I could heave with everything I had. damn Sue would effortlessly throw, and her ball would land just beyond my yellow marker.
Damn, sorry, Sue.
Tawanda. You guys, decades later, she remembers first and last name.
Yes.
She's all salty.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Fun stuff. And also, you know, a little tragic. Mm-hmm. Poor Tawanda. Mm-hmm. So close and yet so far. And I want you all to listen to Holly Berry's comment that she left us about an event that she participated in on Field Day. And she says she has a lot of mixed emotions about Field Day. The one that she remembers the most was sixth grade. She was paired, because they did alphabetical order in her class, she was paired with her good friend Mary for the three-legged race. I know what that's like, Holly. We were pretty good, she said. We practiced as much as we could before the big day. Probably the first time that Holly felt like she had a chance at getting a ribbon. Here's what she said. But as fate would have it, on field day, we were paired up, alphabetical, with all the sixth grade girls. So I was not with my friend Mary. I got paired with Gloria, and I didn't know her very well, but knew her well enough to know we were not going to win the sixth grade girls' three-legged race. So with all my might, I hobbled as fast as I could. This sounds familiar. As I could with Gloria tied to me, down to that finish line. We came in dead last. I went on to never win a field day ribbon in my whole field day.
Tragic. Not Gloria.
I know, Holly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Gloria and Sue.
They
should have been paired up. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Damn, Sue.
Dreams were dashed. They were woven. We weaved our dreams and then they were dashed.
They dream weaved our dreams in the 100-yard dash. Wait, I said that wrong. Our 100-yard dash dream weaver was dashed.
I like how Gloria today, tells the story differently. It's like, yes. Man, I got paired when I was in sixth grade field day with this girl named Holly. And we came in dead last and we never won a ribbon. And they blame each other to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about the ribbons then, shall we? I don't know if you guys know this, but I won a couple of blue ones. Did I mention that?
I think I did hear that somewhere, yeah.
No. But in all seriousness, though, isn't it funny how important that must have been to me?
Oh, that tiny little piece of garbage? That's a golden treasure.
I think it also tells you how much I never won anything else, probably. And I can't imagine it's not somewhere either here in a box, or it probably was in a box that we didn't get to go through at my mom's, and it got someone at the estate sale we ended up having was like, I'll take this ribbon for
says
Junko,
Michelle on it.
77. So I was gonna ask you guys, did you get participation ribbons? Because I remember at my field days, we got place ribbons for 1, 2, and 3. And then everyone else who competed in that event got a participation ribbon.
No.
So you did end up with ribbons, but you didn't want, maybe the participation one was yellow. So if you're walking around with a whole bunch of yellow ribbons, like flapping out of your pocket.
You showed up that day.
Yes. That flapping out of your pocket. That was something you showed off when you had them. Like somehow you tied them on or you had them flap. People knew what you had won. And yes, so you had to have more than just yellow or green or whatever the participation
ribbon
was.
Remember there were some kids that would walk around holding this giant stack in their hands?
Yes.
And it would be all multicolored, but like Mike Foley can just barely hold on to the big stack in his hand. And I'm just wondering if I'll get one. And then eventually when I did get my one, and it was blue because, you know, I know you've heard
I
won
the
dash. Some dash. It was either 50 or 100 or 90, 10, whatever. And I had my one blue ribbon and I just hung on my finger and I was proud. I was, because I was in awe. I'm like, shit, what? How did this even happen? Mm-hmm. But then Mike Foley comes walking by holding his fistfuls of ribbons and it just puts into stark contrast that we have, there are some haves and have nots in the athletic ability department here.
Even at age eight.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh. Mm-hmm. And it sticks with us because believe it or not, I went down a Reddit rabbit hole and there was a whole thread on ribbons from field day. People just still have feelings. And I wanted to read this one because it was kind of funny. In this case, the participation ribbon was green. And this gentleman said, don't forget the green one, the participation one you got every single year because you were a fat, unathletic kid and didn't win anything until sixth grade when you get a third place in a 4x4 relay. Fuck yeah.
And third was was white. I remember third place was white.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, he's remembering like that. That made exactly such impact. Yeah. On him. I know when I asked my sister, I texted my sister and I said, "Thoughts on field day?" You know, we're recording an episode on field day, and immediately the response was, "I still have all my ribbons from field day!" Exclamation point. 100-yard dash, long jump, etc. Somewhere like with 8 exclamation points. I loved field day. 5 exclamation points. My sister would have been the type that would have been winning like a first, second.
Would have had the fistful. But that one guy on Reddit who gets that one ribbon that one time is like, I'm a person.
Yes.
Right? Like you get, yes. I exist.
Exactly.
It's just like a big spotlight is finally being shown on you.
Yes. Our identities, how we kind of constructed those when we were young. Uh-huh. And always, I was always the wannabe. It was like I wanted the stack of the ribbons. And if I only had one blue, that was going to be on the top of my stack. People were going to think I had a lot more blue. Them. But
oh, definitely.
Yes. But, you know, it somehow it validated you. The more ribbons you had, the better person you were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm more deserving of being on this earth than you.
How awful. It started so young.
I know.
So young.
So not even the allure of ribbons could make field day tolerable for some of our followers. We actually had more comments, more comments from folks who despised field day than those who relished it. Mm-hmm. And I get you. I see you. I totally understand that because Mike Foley's walking around with his fist full of ribbons like he's so much better than you. Mm-hmm. And we had some great comments from people. Philebutant, that's a great name. Philebutant said, dread, in all caps. Any forced sports-based activity filled me with such anxiety the entirety of my childhood. Oh, she doesn't have a fist full of ribbons. So Jill Casaria, she says, I dreaded field day. It was always too hot and too competitive. I get sunburned on my face and my arms, and I get rope burn on my hands from tug of war. The only part I enjoyed were the popsicles at the end.
That's fair.
And you can see where that would be a big thing to look forward to. It's like popsicle day.
Yes. There was always some fun kind of food that you didn't normally get associated with it. But again, the Texas heat, I just kind of remember, I think we would be popsicles too, and you'd be eating them like you kind of stuck your head out over like that, and they'd be dripping like the red, whatever. But yeah, you had to like be an ostrich neck.
You had to like hold it sideways. Yes. If you held it straight sideways. Up, it all, if you held it up, it all dripped down the stick, down your hand. Yeah. So you always had to hold it sideways and like.
Sideways.
And then it'd get so mushy, you'd bite it. And then it would all just fall off the stick on the ground.
Crashing down. And everybody's walking around with different colored like drips down the front of their shirt. Like somebody's got green drips. Somebody else has got orange drips.
Yes.
So Sandra Sunnyside says, wandering around, avoiding teachers so I could avoid participating. And there's more than one person who was like, yeah, ditto. Me too. Yeah. Like, how can I just hide? How can I carry a clipboard? Can I carry a clipboard so I don't have to run? And Jill Evans McGuire says, hated field days because they made us play sports. I was a dancer and sports were not my thing. I was the kid doing cartwheels in the outfield. Same. Yep. Just let me stay out here and do cartwheels.
I was going to share, I read again on the Reddit thread, people again had strong feelings about field day, and somebody who did not like it said that there was just the humiliation of coming in last for everything. And then she said, to paraphrase Charlie Brown, I already know that I stink at sports. Why do we have to have a whole day to emphasize it?
Oh, God. Yes. Oh, my God, that hurts. Wah. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yes. Why do we have a whole day to emphasize it?
I know. But tug of war, I think that was fun for everybody, don't you think?
Because that was more like a spectator sport.
Right. This was you were either yelling like, Paul,
yes.
Paul.
Yes. And you had a team to root for.
Yes.
I want to go on record right now admitting, I faked it so hard during the class versus class tug of wars. Like I'd put my hands on the rope, but I wouldn't really like grasp it because it would hurt my little tiny delicate hands. And, you know, I needed those hands to jump rope, right?
Yes.
Like and Michelle, I would just kind of like, so I wouldn't.
I am
pull.
So upset with you right now. I don't even have words.
Oh my God, I'm so proud of her.
What? Also,
do you really think your team thinks you're
pulling? No, understand. It doesn't matter. Understand. Little Michelle had zero strength.
She brings nothing to the table.
So not actually participating by pulling was not going to hurt my team at all. In fact, it probably would have hurt my team. She already did this calculus.
She's like, safe for me to not do this.
I probably would have done it something wrong, or because of my negative strength, it would have made us lose. I don't even know, but I would.
She was pushing.
I would do really good. Like,
you wouldn't be one of those people that kind of fell down.
Yes, when they hit the ground, they can't get back up,
and you just drag them along. Oh my gosh.
But our friend Susie Dillingstreet said, the kids who were good at sports, not me, she said, makes that distinction, had yet another chance to show that they were good. I was fascinated by the tug of war. The whole thing could have been tug of war, as far as I'm concerned. Her whole field day experience came down to tug of war.
That was less sports and more like circus sideshow. And so it was much more fun for me. And like the whole school would surround the tug of war. The rest of field day, in my recollection, is you had lots of different events going on at once, but not the tug of war.
Right.
And do you do you remember when you found out it was tug of war? And I was like, no, it's tug of war.
Yeah, tug of war. It's tug of war. Mm-hmm. Well, it's sort of like Battle of the Network Stars. It was like in Battle of the Network Stars. That was the event that everybody was watching.
And remember, like, there'd be that little, like, ribbon hanging down or little flag or something. Yeah. And when it crossed a certain line, that's when you won. And it would get really close, but then all of a sudden the other team would pull and it would come back and you were all screaming, pull, pull, pull.
And then somebody would get the strategy of, like, going, heave. And they'd start, remember, they would get some rhythm, and the other team is just like, we don't know how to respond to that.
And then once the other team kind of gives up, you know, they all just kind of come tumbling forward. Like, all of a sudden, it's really easy to pull.
Did you ever have, where the teachers did tug of war?
Yes.
That was two teams of teachers. Mm-hmm.
Yes. When the teachers were real people again, those were always fun days.
When your teachers got in the dirt, that was a good day.
Well, I have got to read to you guys perhaps what is the most tragic yet exciting story comment that we might have ever gotten. And this comes from Laura Deal, and it has to do with field day and tug of war. Laura says, I know we had many field days, but I only remember one. I was in fifth grade. We were playing tug of war, and one of my classmates started yelling incoherently and hitting people. Now, he was an eccentric kid, but not violent. So I ran over to see what was up. And I noticed that his younger brother, who was at the end, so like the anchor, he was at the end of the rope and he was on the ground. And he had tied the rope around his waist and used a slip knot. And it was tightening and he couldn't get it untied. For better or worse, I have the voice that carries. So I yelled at the top of my lungs in my most serious voice, everyone, stop pulling now. You are killing Alan. So basically, I saved his life and I am a hero. The teacher in charge, in quotation marks, of the tug of war, who hadn't noticed that someone was literally dying, gave me the blue ribbon. I'm not athletic to this day in the least, so it was the only time I won anything on field day. If only being loud and bossy was an Olympic event.
She won the life-saving ribbon.
Lifesaver. He was getting basically squeezed into. He was getting
like... Imagine? But you know, you probably thought of that because you were tied around. Like Lou Ferrigno did have the rope tied around his waist, but not in a slip knot.
Oh, my God. I was reacting as if it was happening in real time. Well, like, oh, my God, he's going to die.
Traumatic. Poor Alan. What do you think he thinks of to this day?
You're killing Alan.
He has a scar. Talk about rope burns.
Oh my goodness.
Poor Alan.
So the drama of field day, clearly so much drama on field day, oftentimes culminated with the passing out of yearbooks. And then the frenzy commenced of the signing of the yearbooks. And I have to tell you that I just did a deep dive on my yearbooks from seventh grade until I graduated. And this is so interesting. I highly recommend it for everybody. It reveals so much about who you were at each stage of your development, especially when you go all the way through from when you were 12 to when you were 18. You are like five different people in that period of time. And it says so much about the culture, about being a teenager. And mm-hmm. so we had this great conversation about our yearbooks and reading all the things that we wrote in our yearbooks. And you guys, it took up so much time that we've decided to package mm-hmm. it as its own episode and bring that to you next week. Because the end of the school year is nigh. And we're celebrating it. It is.
And like you said, when you go back to your old yearbooks and see what, because we don't get to see what we wrote in other people's yearbooks.
No,
it's what people wrote to us. And there's all yeah. these little Easter eggs and tidbits that tell us how our friends saw us or what we did. And yeah. it's so much fun.
Yes. And total Husker-Doo moments, too, that you'll totally forget you were even a part of. And then yes. you'd be like, whoop, sucked back in that time machine.
People you forgot. Mm-hmm. People that you thought were periphery people, but it turns out maybe you were best friends.
Right.
And you just, but it was only for a semester. Like, you were so close just during earth science, and you just didn't remember.
And you forgot. But that's huge, yes. though, because don't yes, you, huge. You know, you were good friends with those people during fourth period yes. or something.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel so sad that I no longer have a last day of school. I just have to tell you, I feel I'm very bereft about that. I'm jealous of all of you who are teachers who still get a last day of school. Sometimes when I see the kids in my neighborhood running home with like papers flying out of their backpacks, I know it's the last day of school. And I'm like, everybody get in the car. We're going to Dairy Queen. Like, even though there's nobody in my house who has a last day of school, we're going to Dairy Queen because I want to celebrate. These mm-hmm. are important rites of passage. And when you're an adult with grown children, we're pretty low on rites of passage. And the passage of time is just very hard for us to measure when you're at this stage of our lives. And can we just say that the ultimate last day of school for all of us from this generation is that scene in Greece with the carnival. And everybody wants to have the carnival. And there is a town in Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago called Naperville. I used to live there many years ago. And they had something back then, I hope they still have it now, called Last Fling. And it is a carnival on or around the last day of school. And I remember going to this as an adult and just being like, thank you, Naperville. Thank you, Naperville. Thank you for giving me my Greece experience, because this is what everybody dreams about. Everybody wants to ride mm-hmm. the Ferris wheel on the last day of school. You know what? We've lost this rite of passage unless you live in Naperville, Illinois, but it doesn't have to be that way. We can still celebrate the turning of a new chapter. We can celebrate the annual arrival of summer, right? Even if you still have to get up and go to work every day, summer is still different. It just is. Right? Mm-hmm. We're a little more relaxed. We might go home early on Fridays. We go for walks at night. We sit out after dark. We eat a lot more ice cream. That's something for us to celebrate. That's a turning of the page. So I suggest you start a new rite of passage by getting out your yearbooks and inviting your friends over. Maybe do a balloon toss or a three-legged race or the egg in the spoon relay. You can throw something at something and then have popsicles. And then go to Dairy Queen. There's got to be some kind of ball.
And ribbons for everyone.
Yes, everybody gets a ribbon. And then you can do a round robin of like reading your yearbook entries. You all take turns. And then you go to Dairy Queen. Everybody gets in the car and goes to Dairy Queen.
I'm there.
Yes,
I want to go, yeah.
We get a rite of passage too. And this is a way of honoring all the last days of school that you have had in your entire lifetime and bringing them into your present. Thank you so much for listening today, and we will see you next time.
And we'd like to give a special shout out to some of our patrons. Thank you so much to Diane and Sherry, Mike, Christina, Tracy, Stella, J.S., Jennifer, Erica, Lisa, Natalie, and Nina.
Thank you so much to all of our patrons. In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast, courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. To good times.
To happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie. Cheers!
Cheers! Happy last day of school!
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu, nanu, keep on truckin', and may the force be with you. Spread